Okay, you can turn in your Bibles again to Luke chapter 2. We'll go over that passage that we read. A lot of important and interesting things in this passage. I've said in the past about a number of young and middle-aged men that I've come across at different pastors' fellowships that I said, well, I'm moving on. We're going to leave the church. We've been here about 6-7 years now, but I feel the Lord's calling us to another place. Oh, okay, well, anything wrong or what's the matter? Well, some of them have said, well, you know, I've run out of things to say. And then I just kind of get a puzzled look on my face and think, you've run out of things in the Word of God to say? Really? I've been doing this now for a number of years. I hate to tell you how many. And I have not run out of finding good things that the Lord wants me to share with you through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's just the way it is. Now, in this passage of Scripture, a couple of things that are interesting. But the first thing that stands out to me, and if you need to correct me after the service, you do that. And I won't mind at all, and I'll make that correction next time I'm in the pulpit. But it seems to me that the only invitation from God to anyone to come and visit Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus was to the shepherds. Now, if you find anything else other than that in there, you let me know, and then I'll make that corrected statement. But when we think about the shepherds, who were they really? You know, it's not like the angels went to a king or they went to the people that were well known in the area and, boy, everybody would know them. They didn't go to the elite. They went to the shepherds, which were no more than just common, ordinary folks. In fact, of the matter is they were certainly not looked at as the elite in the community. Most likely, these shepherds were tending their sheep just outside of Bethlehem. And the sheep that they were tending were probably sheep that eventually would end up being sacrificed in the temple. Remember, even in the Old Testament, the people, when the priests would make a sacrifice, they were supposed to bring the best of the flock. So that means when the priests would even go and they would look over these sheep, they weren't going to pick the ones that were lame. They weren't going to pick the ones that had a problem with health. They were going to pick the best. That's the way it was supposed to be. You study that out in the Old Testament, you'll see. When the nation of Israel started to go wrong, and started to go down the wrong path, one of the first things that happened is they weren't concerned about giving God their best. They were just happy to give him whatever they had, but they didn't want to give him the best. I mean, that they could sell and make money instead of giving him the best. So that was even the beginning of the downfall. Read about that in many of your prophets. How the priest did not fulfill their obligation the way the Lord wanted them to do it. They were probably, as far as people at that time, they were probably the last people that you would expect that God would take notice of. But he certainly did. In the story of God's announcement to the shepherds, there are some very important truths. We already read verses 7 to 9, but we'll kind of concentrate on that a little bit with this first point. They learned that everyone is important to God. Maybe it didn't register with them as that, but it sure does to us as we read these passages of Scripture. And I think you would agree that that is the heart of God and his compassion. They learned that everyone is important to God. The invitation of God at this point, I believe, probably came to people that were more despised than they were considered elite. but yet God made the announcement to them. Shepherds were so far down on the list of social outcasts, the only people that were lower than them were probably the lepers. Now, that's hard for us to imagine, but as you study through even the history of this time, you'll find that that is true. I have this note highlighted so I would make sure I didn't miss it. So let me look very carefully at it. I believe that God chose the shepherds because he wanted to show that his love is available to all. We mentioned earlier about women who have gone through abortions. Do you realize the most important thing for us to not do is condemn them, but to be there for them because of what they might have to go through because of what happened? So in a sense, we should be there to encourage them and to help them in their time of need. Yes, we consider it a sin that it happened, but now let's help them with whatever help that they need during that time. We also know, when we said about that, God wanted to show that his love is available to everyone. God is not a respecter of persons. You know, sometimes we get all wound up and we let our brains run wild, and sometimes we even get angry. And I'm thinking of all the anger that has gone through that brain of mine, even with the governor that we have. But you know what God reminds me of every now and then, and he should? Oh, he literally doesn't tap me on the shoulder, but the Holy Spirit that dwells within reminds me, pray for him. Pray for him. I don't know whether he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior or not, but the Bible does tell us, by their fruits you shall know them. So if he needs Jesus Christ as his Savior, we need to pray that way. We also need to pray that he would listen to the truth and to people that give him the truth instead of following the money to make his decisions. That's a prayer that God will hear. And we need to remember to pray that. So God is not a respecter of persons. I often think of men who, in the eyes of the world, had everything that you could ever want. Possessions, wealth. And yet we hear one day they have brain cancer. This is wrong with them. They're going to die. Well, you know that the first thing that comes to mind many times with these celebrities or these people who have, in the eyes of the world, everything, but do they have Jesus? Because all that they've had here will do them no good. Some of them, with all the money they have, they still could not overcome the disease that was in their bodies, and they died. Some of them had brilliant minds, but they needed Jesus. That was the most important thing for them. God does not show more respect to kings than he does to an hourly wage earner. In his sight, they're both precious, and he would love to save them and see them come to heaven to spend eternity with him. But no matter how insignificant you may think you are, God knows you and you are important to him. Never forget that. Let's look at what one of the greatest evangelists and missionaries had to say to the church at Corinth. Look at 1 Corinthians, if you would, with me. And let's go to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Did I give the wrong reference there? Did I give the right? Okay, I heard some pages roughly, and I thought maybe I gave the wrong reference. Okay, so we see that's pretty clear there. Now, point number two about the shepherds. They learned that God has wonderful news for all who will believe. Verses 10 through 14, I think, bring that out. The first words that the angel said to them was just the words that they needed to hear. Fear not. We stopped when we read that and we said, if this happened to you, I think maybe you might have a little anxiety and fear. I remember the many things that the shepherds had to face in the first place. Some wild animals were lurking around and were kind of hungry from time to time. And guess what they were looking for? Some of the sheep that they were in charge of and taking care of. And now this happens? My goodness. Well, the scripture said that they were greatly afraid. And when this angel suddenly appeared, I think the shepherds probably reacted in a normal human way. They were afraid. I know I would if an angel showed up. And then along those lines of fear and the human bodies that we live in still until the Lord calls us home to be with Him. Maybe today, as you sit here and only God knows your heart and you, maybe as you sit here today, your heart might be filled with fear at this Christmas time. I think right off the top of my head, the call I got this morning before I came to church. Molly's on the phone. That's Darlene's daughter. You could tell in her voice. She was concerned. She was fearful she might lose Mom. And you could sense it. And the last thing she said to me is, now you will get in to see her, won't you? I said, Lord willing, and give me the strength, and I can. I'll be in to see her this afternoon. She's concerned about her. And maybe you sit here today and you have some fears about your health. Maybe you have some fears about family matters. Maybe your job security. Boy, is that on shaky ground today. Maybe you have fears about the economy. Maybe you have a fear about the world's condition, and it's not in the best of shape. But we need not fear. We need not fear. The Bible even tells us God hasn't given us a spirit or a heart of fear. He gives us peace because we know. That's why we take the time to read these things to you over the next couple of weeks. Not to discourage you, but to encourage you and let you know God knows all about it too. He knew about it before we did. What do we say about what Daniel prophesied 2,500 years ago? God knew it. He just asked us to be faithful and depend on Him, and then we have nothing to fear. Even if they do something to this body, and we hear often about people who are murdered in front of their wife and children or husband, and still, God knows it, and God has the final say on that, and somebody would be judged for it. And we think about what we have. The same that was brought to the shepherds. We have good tidings of great joy. He's come. All the first time, even the Jews didn't know why he came. They were looking for a deliverer, but they weren't looking for the kind of delivery he would give this first time. But he came in love and compassion, paid the price we can never pay. Notice, too, in those verses that this news shall be to all people. To all people. That's important. The news is not just for a privileged few. It's for all people. All people. Scripture says, whosoever will, let him come. I'm still preaching and teaching to everybody I come across, especially to those ones who want to reject the gospel. I remind them, you alone decide where you will spend eternity. God has given you a will. We covered that, or Brother Dan covered that when he was going through the book of Genesis just a week or so ago. I can't keep track of everything, but he brought out the will of man and the sovereignty of God. We make choices. God built us that way. Well, there was a heavenly flash. Heavenly flash. I wonder what that would look like. And then the shepherds, who are already bewildered, are surrounded by angels. Now, not just one angel. Now, how would you handle that? And it says here in the scripture, and this is interesting, the words "a multitude." Now, some might be racing through their mind and think that a multitude is 50. No. Multitude might be 150. No. A multitude might be 1,500. No. The multitude, and the way it's described here, and you go back into the original Greek, you can't count how many were there. That's a multitude. In God's eyes, to us, a multitude is sometimes 50, 100, or 1,500. But with God, it's different. And then listen to this. Brother Dan, I'm just taking a minute now. They don't have to listen to this. It's just you and me talking now. How would you like to have a multitude of people that you could lead in a choir? Wouldn't that be marvelous? Yeah. But look at this. Wait, I'm not far off there now. I'm going to get him excited. Look. Then the multitude of angels, what did they do? They began to sing praises. Multitude, that might be a little bit more than even what Brother Dan can handle when we're talking about people you can't count. But it would still be nice to have a choir, wouldn't it? But look at this. God does everything bigger than what we think. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 38 and verse 7 that at creation, we covered this in the study of Genesis, at the creation, angels sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Imagine that. Man, what a sound that would be. And here they join voices again to welcome the birth of the Savior of mankind. Why wouldn't they rejoice and praise God for his graciousness and his goodness? Number three, they learned that how you respond to the invitation of God makes all the difference. Verses 15 and 16. Let's settle on that for just a little bit. Now, realizing what was going on all around them and realizing the times in which they live, I could imagine, although I don't know how in the world this would be possible, they could have doubted what they'd been told. They could have doubted it. Some people that you tell the good news to, they doubt it. I told you about we're passing out in the apartment complex and in the houses behind the church here. Knocked on one door, and I started to hand the invitation to the man and explained what it was about and who I was, and shaking his head no, and closed the door. I don't know whether he knew what the invitation was or not, but most people that do that, not all of them, but most people, some of them, you know, they're tired of having the JWs come around. They don't have the true gospel, that they think everybody that comes around doesn't have the true gospel. But some already heard it, and they don't want to hear it again. They know exactly what you're there for. They could have ignored it. Some people do that. Mary Ann in the went through the checkout line at one of the stores, and she graciously, the only way Mary Ann knows how to do anything anyhow, graciously gave the lady a tract. No, I know what that is. I don't want that. And refused it. So ignored the truth, really. They could have debated it. Oh, boy, is there a lot of that going on. I remember in school, we had to take a speech in English, and some of you are wondering, boy, he failed English, didn't he? Right. So, but anyhow, we had to debate, too. We had to debate each other. And we thought, oh, this is great. We're going to debate out of the Bible, and we get to pick the scripture. No, no. The teacher would tell you what you're going to debate. Then you would have a partner, and then you would debate. And then you were graded on that. Well, they could have debated it. They could have rejected it. I don't believe that. They could have had a number of excuses that would keep them from checking out the story that they just heard. You could add to the list I just gave you. But the shepherds chose to believe. They chose to believe. They did not say, now listen to this. They did not say, let's go and see if this is true. Didn't say that. What did it say? They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You get that? They believed before they saw. Isn't that the same for you, me? Did you ever see Jesus? I know, but I have seen his word. And he has manifested himself in his word. And I know today that I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me. Yeah, there it is. We said earlier, every individual is important. And it is impossible. It is impossible for us to just ignore life and ignore one another. Can't do it. And it's not enough just to hear about Jesus. It's not enough to look into the manger and say, oh, how nice. But if Christ is not born in your heart, yes, there's a prayer you say, but the prayer isn't what saves you. It's this knowing, this knowledge of who you are, what he is, and what he has done, and you have received him as your personal Savior. You have a personal relationship with him, and you know it when you have it. You know it. Number four. They learn that what you do with the good news is of great importance. Verses 17, 18, and 20. Now, I look at the shepherds as another occupation. I look at them as the first evangelist. What's an evangelist do? He goes around and preaches the gospel. So I look at them as the first evangelist. And the thing that was interesting about them, and we would have probably done it the wrong way, perhaps, some of us, they did not emphasize what it was like to see an angel. And they saw a lot of them. That wasn't their emphasis. Isn't that interesting? They also didn't emphasize that they heard a magnificent, wonderful, angelic choir. They didn't emphasize that. They didn't even dwell on how, oh man, let me tell you how scared I was. They didn't even dwell on that or emphasize that. Their main interest was in reporting, which was told them concerning this child. That was more important than all the other things, whether they were exciting or fearful. That was the message. And that's your message, and that's my message to the people. This morning, as usual, I got a text from my friend, Brother Chuck Harvey. He'd been out of these church now 37 years. They had their Christmas program on Friday, I believe it was. And he was excited about it, but he's in a hard area out there. And he said it was encouraging. They had the kids. I watched part of it. His wife put it on the program on the Facebook. And he had the little ones there singing out of tune and looking everywhere else but where they were supposed to. But what a blessing. And he said the people that came out, they had visitors. And they came out and they heard the gospel message again. Oh, not a lengthy sermon, but a challenge from God's word. Simple plan of salvation. And then got the message also from the play, the presentation, the singing of the songs. All of that has the message too. Everything that you hear on Christmas Eve is going to have the message in it about Jesus and about God. That's what it's all about. It's about him. That's what this celebration time is all about anyway. It's about him. It's about him. Do you know what's important for us to do? It's important for us to live, even for the few moments that we live here on earth. And compared to eternity, it's only going to be a few moments that we live here. It's important for us to influence somebody. And you know you will influence somebody in your lifetime. And it'll be either for the good or it'll be for the bad. But it is. The last verse of our text says that the shepherds who had seen such wondrous sights had to go back to the ordinary. Well, they saw a lot of things, but now, hey, it's time to get back to normal life. That's true of us each year. We have the celebration of Christmas. That's a special time. We set it aside for that. We do special things. But when the fun and the excitement is over, we have to return to our jobs and our responsibilities. But the shepherds return so full of what had happened in their lives, they could not keep from sharing the good news that they were given. There it is. Now, we've already covered this, and I'm sure if you studied this on your own, as far as customs and things of the past, which is always good to do. Some of the ladies, I think the ladies did that one time about customs and things of the past in Bible times. I think we can come to the conclusion as we think about shepherds that it probably was a lonely job. Well, there were times it was exciting if a lion or something came, but for the most part, it was probably lonely. I would say it was probably weary. Usually, it would probably be more boring and tedious than anything else. And along with all of that, we already mentioned it, it was also dangerous. But I believe because of this event that happened in their lives, I don't believe any of these shepherds were ever the same. I've told this story, and I'll make it a short version, but I think some need to hear it again. When I first got saved, I was so excited at the age of 30, 31, that I didn't do this literally, but some people thought this is what I was doing to them as I went around and told them the good news. You gotta listen to this. This is great. And you know, many of us start out that way. But it would be nice if we kept that same zeal when we first got saved, and me later in life, and then add all the wisdom that God gives you to the zeal and keep serving Him. Because when you're saved, there is a sense, no matter what the age, it's not the same. Caleb, he can tell his own story, and he has. He was a bad boy when he was real young. I'm pretty sure his mother thought about trading him in often. I'm not sure. I never talked to her about it, but are you shaking your head yet? Oh, you're smiling. Yeah, okay. So he was saved even at a young age. And even at a young age, and he'll tell you if I'm correct in saying this or not, even at a young age, after his mother had talked to him about salvation, there was a change in his life and how he lived and how he's acted. Right now, he's doing this, even at a young age. There, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a personal relationship with Him, there is a change. There is a change. That's why I say the shepherds were never the same. Never the same. You know what kept them going? The same thing that keeps you and I going. With all that's going on around us and a lot of things that were going on around them didn't change, but you know what kept them going? It's a little four-letter word that you think about at Christmas and other times, but especially at Christmas: hope. H-O-P-E. Hope. Sometimes we get weary. Oh, do I get weary at times? There are times when you wonder, is it worth it all? But the Lord has promised that one day He's coming back. You won't be looking at Him, or shepherds won't be looking at Him in a manger. It'll be different. And He's coming, first of all, for you and I, if you have a personal relationship with Him. He is coming for shepherds and kings and politicians and blue-collar workers and retired people. Amen. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. And one day he will dry all the tears away and take all the pain away. He's coming again. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more goodbyes or even see you later, which a Christian can say. And then we will say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Let's pray.